Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 17. The end of the last chapter had to do with Omri coming to power. We're told that he laid the foundations of the city of Jericho at the cost of his firstborn son, as was prophesied by Joshua, that whoever rebuilt that city would do so at the cost of their firstborn. Well, Ahab, wicked man that he was only too happy to oblige. He was an evil king like no other, but in spite of his evil, God raised up a prophet like no other to stand against him, just like he does in every evil age. The Bible says, when the darkness rushes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard against it. That picture of a flood wiping away all traces of anything good is countered by the picture of a standard or a battle flag, which is what a standard is. The purpose of a battle flag is to serve as something that all could see and rally around. As the last chapter closed, we saw the flood of evil rushing in like dark waters. The war is on, but God begins to draw his battle lines in this chapter. The prophet that God raises up like no other is no other than Elijah. He's an important dude, and along with Moses, he'll make a cameo with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. More on that as we continue to study Elijah. But for now, know that if you were born in this dark day, you were born into a time like this for a reason. You are a part of that rallying banner, that standard that God is rising up. You've had a long line of preachers, leaders, and Christians who stood in the gap before you. But this is your day to shine, because that's what lights are made for, to shine in the dark. Today we meet Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe, according to verse 1. Wow, that's a title and it has a nice ring to it. Why not try it on for yourself? Peyton, the Tishbite from Tishbe. It reminds me of a character that John Candy once played in the movie Volunteers. Hi, I'm Tom Tuttle from Tacoma, Washington. But for now, I think we'll simply call him Elijah. Where was I? Right, chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah gets right down to business. He said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Now, it's important that you understand the next passage is communicated very subtly. It needs to be translated, "Run!" Elijah had confronted one of the most wickedest and dangerous men to ever sit upon a throne. Verse 2 reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there.'" So he did as the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Here we see God's great provision. It would make such a great Hallmark card if we could simply show a picture of Elijah next to the brook with ravens bringing him bread and meat like a Snow White in a fairy story. We could write on the inside of the greeting card, "God always provides for those who obey him." And that would be fine and good if we didn't read the next verse. Verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Wait. God, you're causing it not to rain here, and it's totally affecting me. But the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and tells him he'll be cared for. Verse 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath, to the region of Sidon, and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food.' So he goes to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I could have a drink?' As she was going to get it, he called, 'And please, bring me a piece of bread.' 'As surely as the Lord God lives,' she replied, 'I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in the jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.'" She's obviously got water. You know, you can survive 21 days without food, but only survive 3 days without water. But as one person has said, you can't survive more than one day without hope. Here was a woman who was at the end of her rope, at the end of her hope. She was ready to take the last of her flour and, like a prisoner on death row, have her final meal and check out. But God had a different plan for her. The drying up of the brook was so that he, Elijah, could get on the move and supply somebody else with something more important than water. Elijah says to her in verse 13, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, then make something for yourself and your son." Because Elijah thought, "Me first." No, I made that up. But verse 14 says, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on this land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, you have to imagine, the me first part that I made a joke about actually exhibits the faith that this woman had to show. She just took the last of her food and prepared it for a prophet, not knowing if it was going to pay out or not. And of course, God diligently rewards those who trust him. God rewards that faith that she has and takes care of all of them. A little bit later, her son becomes ill. She says to Elijah in verse 18, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from their arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." The woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Have you ever been smack dab in the will of God and suddenly wondered, "God, where are you? I was here serving you. How could you let my world crumble?" I have. Man, I've been down Elijah's road more than once. In fact, a few times I've rented a house on that street. Luckily, it never became my permanent address, but from time to time, I wake up in that bed still, look around and say, "Huh, I know where I am right now. I've been here before." I remember being so mad at God when things seemed to crumble all around me at one point. I quit ministry and told God, "I'll never work for you again." I can tell you at the end of that, my walk with God wasn't closer, but it definitely became deeper. We can't always expect that things will go smoothly just because we're serving God or walking in His will. Ask Jesus. Ask Paul. Both of them had their share of hardship and inconveniences, and they were right in the middle of where God wanted them. In fact, where He had them. This tension and stress led Elijah to press God and rely on Him even more, trust Him like he never had before, and as a result, he had a greater miracle than he had ever experienced. And in fact, that widow, who was a doubter, a chronic doubter, was brought along to a greater measure of faith. Interestingly, Jesus refers to this incident when he goes to his hometown of Nazareth and they reject him. In Matthew, we read, "Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips." "In this Joseph's sin?" they asked. Jesus said, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.'" Verse 24, "But truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time. When the sky was shut for 3.5 years, there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon." Jesus tells him, "I've not been sent to you. I've been sent to whom God wants me to go." They didn't have faith, and they weren't going to have the faith to believe in Jesus. I think sometimes Jesus goes to the people who need him most. And today, maybe that's you, or maybe that's someone around, and your great faith will have an impact on them. Read 1 Kings chapter 17 today, and we'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.